This is Wake Up Call.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
On the Sports Map Radio Network.
All right, let's do this.
Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us. Hour three rolling along this morning on Sports Map Radio in the Major League Baseball season now, just over a month in. Still a long way to go, but what have we seen so far in the first month plus of the 2023 season? Let's go to the Progressive guest line. Progressive Insurance, for a job you love, visit progressive.com. And on average, drivers saving $700. Visit them again at progressive.com. Scott Miller joins us, Sirius XM MLB network analyst, to talk about baseball again a month plus into the season. How are you, Scott?
Good, Ron. How are you?
Good. Overall, and this is probably the question everyone's been asking since the start of the season, is how are the new rules working? What are some of the pluses and what are some of the things that may not be working as well?
Well, I think pretty well. Most people seem to like the new rules. It seems like fans do. Media does. Most of the players I talk to do. You get some grumbling here and there. Managers. I think managers overall enjoy the rules, too. I think everybody enjoys the tempo of the game moving along the way it once did. And the elimination of so much dead time, average game time, about 2 hours and 40 minutes so far this year. I mean, it's shaved off about half an hour or so of normal game times. And, I think overall pretty good. I mean, you'll talk to hitters that weren't ready in time and got a strike called on them. And every so often you get some frustration with that. I think probably looking ahead, the biggest issue is going to be, assuming these new rules stick around into October, which I expect them to, biggest issue is going to be, if you're in a playoff game and, it's the ninth inning and, runner on base and all of a sudden the batter gets called out for strike three when a pitch isn't thrown because he wasn't ready in time. That's several months out, but that's what could be the issue and what nobody wants to see. But, so far so good, I think.
When you look at the way the season has gone so far and the strong start for the Tampa Bay Rays, and that's allowed a team like the Yankees, who are going through some struggles, to find themselves in last place and 8.5 back, but we still have a long way to go. How much stock do you put into a team with an early strong run that puts a distance enough that looks formidable, but again, we still got 5 months left?
We do, but what Tampa's done is they built themselves up a nice little bankroll of collateral that's going to give them some room to breathe when they go through the inevitable slumps that teams do go through during the season. I think, you start 24-6, that's pretty solid. You go back to, the the record start of 40 games, 1984, Tigers started 35-5 and ended up winning the World Series. You look at that season after the first 40 games, after that 35-5 start, the Tigers mostly played 500 ball the rest of the way. So in other words, that hot start didn't continue for 162. But that shows you the value of a ridiculously hot start is, you can play 500 ball the rest of the way. I mean, Tampa Bay finished, they play 500 ball the rest of the way. I mean, they're winning 80% of their games right now. They play 500 the rest of the way. They're still going to end up 18 games over 500 in really good shape.
The Yankees, as we mentioned, are in last place, but they've had injuries. Aaron Judge is the latest. Giancarlo Stanton has been there. There's been a bunch. But is there something else? Is there injuries plus something that's allowed the Yankees not to kind of be in the top of the division?
Well, excuse me, pitching. Pitching's been kind of middling. Garrett Cole's off to a really good start. He had a nice outing, last night when they came back to Cleveland 4-2. Cole's giving them what they need, a 1.35 ERA. But they don't have depth in the rotation, and that's something that has gotten them at times. Volpe at shortstop, the rookie, had a really nice spring. But he's kind of getting his feet on the ground, and obviously shortstop, that's pretty important position. Overall, they're not hitting as much. I mean, you go up and down, you know, that lineup, Aaron Hicks, you know, left field, you know, he's hitting .146. I mean, it's you know, just not much production. You know, the DH role with Judge and Stanton out, you know, Calhoun last night's DH, he's hitting .222. You know, it's a good sign that DJ LeMahieu's back in the lineup. He missed some time last year with injury, but, you know, Josh Donaldson has been out. So yeah, they've had their issues, no doubt about it.
Pittsburgh Pirates, are they real? This is a 20-win team. They just signed Brian Reynolds to a 9-figure deal. This is not something they've done before. Is this true? I mean, is this just a hot start at the beginning of the season?
Yeah, a lot of people are wondering that as well. I think, you know, when O'Neill Cruz went down with a broken ankle, earlier in the year, a lot of people thought, oh, geez, you know, that's going to, he's such a key to their lineup that was going to sabotage them. But they haven't missed a beat even with that. You know, I mean, Key Brian Hayes, another good young player at third base is rolling along, and they've got a lot of good young players in targeting Andrew McCutch and bringing him back to town. That was a very, I thought, a good move. Guy that grew up in Pittsburgh, and the Pirates mean something to him, and McCutchen is kind of that perfect veteran to kind of, show the younger players the way, lead by example, lead by more than example, by talking to them. They've got some good mojo going in Pittsburgh right now, and, I don't know that they're going to continue winning 66% of their games as they have done so far. But, 30 games in, we're getting to the point where you look at some of this and say, okay, this isn't just a hot start to the season. You know, we're at the point where you look, you don't necessarily buy into everything right now, but yeah, you at least look 30 games into the season and say, okay, this, it's more than the hot 10-game start. This has got a chance to continue.
On the flip side of that, in the division, the St. Louis Cardinals, who were in the playoffs last year, are way below .500. On the flip side, can we make that same assessment of them, which is there might be some real problems here? It's not just a slow start.
Yeah, I mean, they've lost 2 games for every game they've won. And, you still like Goldschmidt and Arenado in the lineup, but, the pitching's not – I don't know that the Cardinals have the pitching. Matt's was the loser last night in Dodger against the Angels, and his ERA is up there. Wainwright is trying to hang on, but obviously not what he used to be. They've got some challenges, no doubt about it. The outfield is while the corner infielders Goldschmidt and Arenado are there, and going to be the same old guys. Outfield is, from Carlson to Nootbaar, it hasn't been as productive. The bullpen sprung some leaks, Helsley at the end of games. So, they've got some worries. There's no doubt about it in St. Louis.
Well, a large picture with baseball, with the situation in Oakland, and it looks like they'll be moving to Las Vegas. There's a talk about Tampa, what they may have to do for a stadium. What's the news on expansion? Is that something Rob Manfred wants to do quickly, or does he want to wait this out to see what may shape out with those two franchises?
I think eventually we're going to see expansion. I mean, if for no other reason than 32 teams rather than 30 would allow for a better division of labor, so to speak, among the divisions, even out the leagues. But that said, and also I think expansion is something that eventually will be attractive to the owners because, oh, by the way, it's, there's going to be whatever it is, a $1 or $2 billion fee for somebody to buy into the league, which the, it's called an expansion fee that other owners get. So when you add 2 teams, all the other owners get it, helps make them richer. So I think eventually that'll happen, but it's not going to happen in the near future, Ron. They definitely want to get and have to get Oakland and Tampa Bay stadium situations figured out. So, you know, they're on their way toward figuring that out in Oakland. Tampa Bay is, I mean, again, we started the conversation with them. They're 24-6. They're doing everything right, and they just don't draw. And they've got to figure that one out. And I think, you know, Commissioner Manfred has been on record as saying that they're going to, they have to get those situations figured out before they figure out, before they think about expansion. So, you know, every now and then you hear about, you know, Nashville's ready for a team. And a couple weeks back, you know, there's a news story that Utah, Salt Lake City is trying to get a group together. Charlotte, North Carolina. I think Nashville and Charlotte, North Carolina are the two spots. Possibly Montreal if you're talking about expansion. Portland's in the mix as well. But it may, the way the population base in the U.S. is going, and Charlotte and Nashville both have NFL teams, NBA teams. I think right now, to me, those are the two leaders in the clubhouse, but I think it's 4 or 5 years out at least.
Scott Miller, again, a SiriusXM MLB Network analyst, joining us to talk a little baseball as we're a month into the season. Thank you so much, Scott. Appreciate it.
My pleasure. And take care and enjoy the summer.
You got it. Hope to talk to you again. Scott Miller, talking some baseball. All right, we'll come back. More on the NBA playoffs. We've got a game two tonight between Boston and Philadelphia. And then the big games are coming up this weekend. Even Thursday night, if we throw that in there, of Golden State and the Lakers, we'll retouch on that when we come back. It's Wake Up Call on Sports Map Radio.
Listening to Wake Up Call on the SportsMap Radio Network. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, so a 30-23 night for Anthony Davis led the Lakers to a Game 1 victory in San Francisco as they steal one in Golden State. Again, I've been saying this morning. I'd love to take a lot out of that game and say, well, this means this, this, and this. But there's so many variables here. It's like any other series. I mean, in reality, everybody should say the same thing about every series. We really don't know how it will play out. But sometimes you get a feel. Like sometimes you go, look, this team is really good on paper, and then that showed up in game one. And I think this is going to go five or maybe six, if that. But if you are talking about this series, there's a couple of questions here. One, does Golden State find themselves down to make a down enough in any game where they have to make a 14-0 run to tighten it up? Do they take less 3-point shots in game two and try to get more mid-range jumpers? It's not likely. Kevon Looney, how much do they need him on the floor to counteract Anthony Davis? And how much defensive capabilities does he have against Anthony Davis? They're going to use somebody else. Are they not going to be able to go small for a good portion of this series if Davis is going to do what he's doing? On the flip side, can Davis go 44 a night? Can he stay healthy enough at that pace? When you're going to get the LeBron game, well, you didn't get it last night, but you know you're getting the LeBron game at some point where he pours in 37 or something ridiculous like that. So there's so many variables to this series that doesn't really open up to where this is going to go.
And then also it seems like with the Lakers too, then you get the unsung hero.
Yeah,
whether
right.
It's a Reeves or a Hachimura or, I don't know, insert player name here.
Every time I've seen Reeves in these playoffs, he acts like he absolutely belongs on
yes,
the floor with LeBron James.
Yes, he does.
He acts like he is. Him and LeBron have been doing this forever.
You know who kind of reminds me of? Steve Kerr.
Yeah. Okay. Right. Like with the Bulls.
When Steve Kerr used to play alongside Jordan.
Good point.
You had this feeling like Steve Kerr just like, yeah, I'll take the shot. No big
no
deal.
No problem. No big deal.
Oh, you need me to dribble the ball up? Yeah. I got it.
Yeah, he's not intimidated at all at being in the playoffs with LeBron James whatsoever. Like, regular season is one thing, but playoff LeBron is a whole different. He's like, nah, don't worry about it. I got it.
Nah, because there
he's
was
very confident.
You want to know playoff LeBron. There was a moment, I can't remember where it was in the game, Anthony Davis is kind of high-fiving his teammates, and LeBron is not in that picture. Like, you see him in the background, and he just, like, you know, he's still all business.
Yeah, yeah, very much so.
It's like, you know, we're not celebrating until the, you know, the final buzzer happens. And, you know, it's just all business. I mean, and just, it's just so much intensity coming out of LeBron that it must, God, it must suck to be his teammate during this time.
crazy times. But nevertheless, that was a fantastic, great game one win if you're going to make this a series. Great game one win.
Yeah.
Jared Vanderbilt is a good defender. I mean, this,
seriously, I was really impressed. I remember we were talking about it yesterday with Dieter Kurtenbach.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the one thing he said he was very afraid of. He was like, he doesn't know what the answer would be for Vanderbilt.
He's a long, athletic defender that can make a problem. I mean, he's big. He's 6'8".
And he had one job, which was, hey, you see number 30?
That's right.
Just stay with him.
Stay with him.
He's going to get his. Don't be discouraged by him getting his. That was
the concern, right? That was the concern. Like, what if there was one? If there's one little bit of kryptonite, is it if you can get a long, big defender and make it? Curry's going to hit tough shots. It's kind of what the highlights are always with three guys on top of him.
That's why he
throws it above their heads and lands it in the basket.
And that's why I said in the first hour, I said, I've given up trying to figure him out,
right?
Like how he makes these shots.
I don't either.
I think it's a part alienish. I'm not sure.
He doesn't need to get open looks to knock him down. But if you do, your better percentage is that if you can do it with a guy like Vanderbilt, who's again 6'8" and long and athletic.
Honestly, he might have been the MVP last night, and he scored 8 points.
I know. Yeah.
It's like you were the game ball winner last night.
But half of the shots that Golden State took last night were from the 3-point line. That's what they do. There's no secret to that. There's no. That's not an anomaly. That's not an anomaly like it was for Phoenix. Like Phoenix taking a lot of 3-pointers in game two against Denver. That's not what they do. They're not a lot of 3-pointers. That's not how they operate their offense. But they went with that. They went with that sort of philosophy, and they just couldn't hit them. But Golden State will take half of their shots on the 3-point line, but the thing is that means there's a different pace to the game. If you find you can get back in a game quickly, that's one thing about Golden State that people have always loved about the way they utilize that 3-point line is that they can be down 10. You could get up and get a drink and come back, and they're leading by 2. Like that's how fast they can change the outcome of a game. But good for the Lakers to go there and get that win. I know that Golden State was coming off a series in Sacramento that had them entirely focused. And while it was only like 2 days difference, the Lakers did have a chance to sort of breathe and digest the next series while Golden State was like, whoops, well, we're right back to work again. But nevertheless, that's still a road win against a team that doesn't really win road games. In the Warriors, they did win 2 in Sacramento, so maybe they found something where they're like, all right, it's not so bad to go on the road. But that was a very, very impressive win by the Lakers last night. It was, and again, LeBron didn't need to be explosive because Anthony Davis was. Sixers tonight trying to take a 2-0 lead on the Celtics. They may do so. James Harden had 45 points in game one. They may do so, and if they do so without Joel Embiid in either one of these games, I would be very nervous as I was Joe Mazzulla and the Celtics. I said this yesterday, and I think this is what bothered me about game one. I think the Celtics were undisciplined. They were very sloppy. And this is the one thing that Joe Mazzulla has not been able to imitate when it came to replacing Ime Udoka. Ime Udoka really, really stressed being smart with the basketball, being smart with your plays, being smart out on the court, and the Celtics have been lackadaisical, especially at home. Game 5 against Atlanta and game 1 against Philadelphia, both of them at TD Garden Center, and neither one of those games was impressive. They were having brain lapses, and they looked sloppy. They've got to tighten that up. It's a very good Celtics team that should win the East. You know, with all of the pieces working, should win the East. But they're not going to if Philadelphia really believes they can win and can win without Joel Embiid. And if they do win without Joel Embiid in this series, I'd be very scared if I was Boston, because when Embiid comes back, that was one of the ways that Philadelphia was going to win this series, was getting Joel Embiid back. Like, the idea of him not being in this series had me going, I don't think I see a Philadelphia win. But Harden is smart. Harden is so good. He's looking around and he's seeing a bunch of Sixer players celebrating after the win. And he's like, shut up. It's one game. Like, we're not celebrating. We are playing a 7-game series. We are playing this out. Let's relax. We can do it on the next game too. So That's the only game on the schedule tonight. And then Lakers Golden State will have game two on Thursday. That's a quick turnaround. If I've just played Anthony Davis 44 minutes and I got, again, 30-23 out of the guy, how much am I going to play him in game two with one day's rest? If I'm Darwin Ham, do I go, yeah, you're getting 44 again. This is the playoffs. Suck it up. Or do you go, hey, I can pace this out a little bit. I don't need my big guy hurt for the rest of the postseason. Because they could make a, you know, they could make a run. They could make a run. What if LeBron James gets, what if he beats Steph in this series?
I can see that.
More stuff to his, you know, here's list, the thing. Is he?
When I was watching the game last night, I was really looking at this Lakers team going, like, this is actually a championship team that's underachieved all season long.
I think people blew it off. I think people blew off that assessment of this team.
Yeah.
Because it had Russell Westbrook on it at the beginning of the season and it wasn't working again. And then they jettisoned him. But people were saying, look, if this is a healthy basketball team, watch out. And everybody went, nah, LeBron's too old.
But you look at, what do you need? Like, you know, think back to the Bulls team.
Right.
You know, the 90s, right? Now, this team is nowhere in comparison to the Bulls, and I'm not trying to do a Michael and LeBron debate. But the Bulls of that generation of 90s, especially the latter half during the 90s, really it consisted of two players, Jordan and Pippen. And then there were a lot of really good role players.
Really good, yeah, right.
You know, whether it was a Tony Kukoc or Dennis Rodman, Steve Kerr, like we mentioned, you needed those really good role players. And I'm looking at this Lakers team going, it's like, all right, you got the two superstars, and you have these really good role players that are stepping up at the right time.
Yeah.
You know, like you mentioned, Reeves. Vanderbilt's going to be a struggle. I mean, he's going to give the Warriors struggle. And then D'Angelo Russell is actually a really good pickup for them.
Yeah. He's really, really got a lot of good pieces. Really got a lot of good pieces. But again, I love the way people were kind of pointing that out and saying, look, it's don't sleep on this team. It's being constructed pretty well.
Yeah.
And yeah, it was a season in which they found themselves outside of the playoffs and struggling. Mm-hmm. And the chemistry with Westbrook wasn't working. And then they finally had to let him go and then whatnot. But then when they got healthy and got hot, there was two concerns. One, people I don't think denied that they were playing better basketball, but coming into the play-in tournament, they're like, well, still, they're starting over here, and can they do anything in the postseason? They might have just been too far back. But eliminating Memphis in six games and taking the first game of the series in Golden State is certainly looking like a lot of people were right about the way this team is playing, played late and into this postseason. We'll continue. It's Wake Up Call, Sports Map Radio.
Wake Up Call on the SportsNet Radio Network. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
I almost forgot. You know what else is going on this weekend?
No.
The coronation of Charles.
Oh, yeah. I've been wanting to bring that up.
I wanted
to find out, are you waking up early Saturday morning to watch this?
That's a great question. Are Americans? I don't think so. My wife was really into weddings. She was into those British weddings. But you know what? Like, the king being coronated is like, no.
Hey.
No. Like, why did she want to watch a wedding? Was it because of William and Harry? Was it because of the grand gowns and stuff?
This hasn't happened in our parents' lifetime.
No, it's not. But didn't Schoolhouse Rock teach us a long time ago that we didn't need this nonsense?
I mean, all it is really, isn't it just like a bishop or something that takes a sword out and like says, I now dub thee King of England.
So there's a good question. That's a very good question to ask. Are people who go, look, the monarchy is silly. We don't have a monarchy here. I'm not interested. But will they watch it because it is historical? Will they say, well, I disagree with everything that this is, but you know what? It's a historical moment. Or will they go, nah, we Americans just don't play this game. We don't do it. We don't have gold carriages bringing people to churches so they can put a crown on top of their head. That's an interesting. I know people will, or they want to say, you know, all right, yeah, it was part of history.
What I find funny, though, is that they're going to still
put him in the back of like a horse-drawn carriage, so he's waving to the people.
Yeah.
And it's like, you know, they did that back then because that's all they had.
Right. That's right.
You know, they use the means of the day to showcase this. And, but, you know, it's like, no. You know, we can't put them in a car.
Why do they wear so many clothes, too? Like, why does it look like they just like layers and layers of clothing? So dumb. But anyway, that's going on this weekend.
This is, you know, honestly, what I'm going to do, I'm going to catch the highlights. I'm sure there's going to be highlights. I mean, I don't need to sit there and watch every waking moment. I mean, when I wake up and, you know, there's no good soccer game that's going to be on, which is kind of upsetting because I think everyone's taking a break because of this.
Yeah.
Which is, you know, probably stupid.
I mean, Ken, what is...
And everyone has the day off on Monday, I believe.
I would love to. I'd love to talk to somebody from Great Britain and be like, "Is this a big deal? Like, is this?"
Well, hopefully we do. Like, hopefully, you know, I'm working on a certain guest, and he is from England. So
that's right. That's we are. We are there this week.
Hopefully, he's able to join us.
You can ask him. Would that be insulting?
I don't think it would be because,
like, I don't want to carry myself off as the snotty American that thinks kings and queens are dumb.
Listen, you dumb American.
Yeah, like, you know what I mean. Like, but I also, you know, it's like when somebody attacks your sports team and you hate, like, my team is losing every game, and when somebody else goes, your team stinks. You're like, shut up. I get to say my team stinks, but you don't, Patriot fan. I wouldn't want to make him dive into country pride when he's like, yeah, this is ridiculous. What are we paying all this money for? But glitz and glamour and golden carriages and 50,000 royal guards on, you know, like, no, we don't need. But if I appear as the snooty American, he's probably going to go, no, it's great. It's great. It's what we do. We Brits. It's what we do. We crown kings and queens.
Yep.
You may not like it, but so what? We're Britain. Eh, whatever. But anyway, that's going on this week.
I often think, you know, it's like, because we've never had a royal family, right? But
right.
A lot of people say that, you know, the royal family of America was the Kennedys.
They're American, you know, royalty. Yeah.
American royalty, right? I mean, they just, you know, everything, all these great things, but they are cursed. Then I thought, you know, well, maybe it's the Bush party, the Bush family. And would there have been a war between the Bushes and the Kennedys?
Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah. Could that have happened?
I don't know. That's like the...
There's another Kennedy running for president.
I know. Robert Kennedy's son.
Is that his name? Robert Kennedy's son?
Yeah.
He's running for president. They're never going away.
No, they're not. They're not. They're just going to keep popping
ever.
Up.
Over
I didn't even realize. I think
again.
He isn't he like a state senator or is he a U.S. senator? I don't know.
I don't know.
I didn't even know that, you know, Kennedy was still in office.
I don't know. So, nevertheless.
But yeah,
so anyway, that's going on. You got the Kentucky Derby on Saturday.
Catch the highlights of the coronation. I think there might be some interesting thing there, but don't watch it live. Don't do that to yourself.
Don't wake up and watch the parade down whatever street to wherever they're going.
It is amazing, though, when you do think about that, like things they had to change that they haven't. Like, they had to change their money.
Yeah. That's right. I know, right?
Like, all
that's
of a
why
sudden,
I'm,
it's just
we,
like...
We put dead presidents on because we're done. With their legacies are sealed. They're done. They're not going... Yeah, exactly.
And we're having a hard time. Which... Are we changing the $20 bill for Harriet Tubman or is it the $10?
I can't remember. Are we still doing that or was that a conversation that we were having and we just... that just went away?
Something we were just, you know, throwing around out there.
Yeah, it might have been something we just went... Yeah, we might do that down the road, but not,
you know,
today.
Yeah. I mean, we could. That could happen. So, I mean, if you have money with Queen Elizabeth on it, it's still good, right?
I'm sure it's still good.
They're just collecting it?
We should ask our friends from Canada. Isn't the Queen on their money, too?
Yes.
Didn't we teach them a lesson on how to get rid of that stuff?
Well, we're not letting Canada into our country right now because, you know, they're not allowed to watch hockey.
Right, that's right.
So, yeah. You know, they can't
come and enjoy their Toronto Maple Leafs in South Florida.
I mean, maybe we just put a ban on saying, hey, you can't pay us with Queen Elizabeth money. Sorry, we're only taking King Charles money.
Shouldn't we have taught them, like, hey, listen, see this yoke of royalty? We got rid of that 200. Get rid of this queen on the money thing.
Don't they have enough history now that they can come up with their own dollar bills?
Exactly. Put maple syrup on it or something. Whatever it is you guys do well. Whatever you're proud of, stuff it on there. Put a hockey puck on this. I don't care.
Three things. There's got to be
the queen's face and get rid of it.
We could do three things that Canada is known for, right? What would it be?
If we could do
that, would be maple syrup,
maple
hockey,
syrup, hockey, and
there's got to be a third thing.
How about the Canadian Mountie, like Dudley Do-Right?
Yeah,
that's a good one, right?
Yeah. I mean, good idea, terrible movie.
What? No, it's good cartoon.
Good cartoon. I know, but I'm talking about the live action.
The movie
with
Brendan Fraser?
Yeah. Not his finest role. You'll even admit it. No, I like the Canadian Mountie.
Yeah, why not?
Got to be something on there, too. It's like, you know, sorry. I mean, they're too apologetic. Maybe that's why.
That's why
they're not getting rid of the royal family, because they're too apologetic.
So, don't wake up Saturday to watch the coronation.
Yeah.
Don't watch the highlights.
Watch the highlights.
And here we go. And watch this right here. Crown on the head. That's right. Crown on the head. And there you have it.
Glad,
the new king.
So glad I didn't waste 2 hours waiting for that.
All right. He's got to walk down this thing right here. Yeah, exactly. I mean, see the people waving.
You know what's amazing? He doesn't even take an oath.
No.
Like, is he going to put his hand on the Bible and say, I do solemnly swear to protect the office of the king? No.
No, not at all.
No. They're just going to make him king. And he's like, I make the rules now.
I will have to say one thing about that guy that I got to tell you. No one's waited longer for something his whole life than this guy.
Oh, my God.
No. Since the day he was two, they told him he was going to be king. They're like, someday you're going to be king. He's like, really? Yeah. When you get older, you're going to be king. How much older? Don't worry about it.
Yeah.
Age is just a number. Don't worry about it.
You can't live forever. Look, your mom became queen. Your mom became queen in her 20s.
Yeah.
We're just saying.
So when you get older, don't worry. That crown's going to be yours. Poor kid.
Yeah, isn't he like mid-70s?
He's like 75 years old.
Yeah, dude, he's dead in a couple of years.
He's like, better late than never, I guess.
I mean, was there a moment in his life that he started wishing his mom would die? Because, you know, we all have issues with our moms sometimes.
I've wondered that for a long time.
You know,
do you do if you want something so badly and a parent is just holding on to it? Nah, it's mine. Nah, is it? Is it really? Nah, yeah, you ain't getting it.
Is there a conspiracy to commit murder?
Exactly. I know, right? It's got to be the worst family drama, man.
It really
is.
It's
got to be the worst. Too bad.
God, I mean, he waited, what, 20, 30 years too long for that, role.
I mean, by the time you're 50, you got to be like, oh, come on.
Yeah.
What? Like, really? I'm not king yet? No, not yet. You're 60, you're like, okay, you know this is not fun anymore.
Here's something somebody needs to educate me on, because I have no idea. Can you step down?
Yeah, you can.
You can step down.
Yeah, you can.
So how much of a, you know, gut punch is that? That your mom's
I'm better at 60% than you are at 100%. Is that what we're doing?
Yeah,
I'm better at this very, very old age doing this than you will ever be at all. what a family dynamic that must have been.
Like, will Charles step down and go, William, you're much better at this than I am? No.
She's looking at the food testers going, anything he is near, I'm not eating.
Yep.
If he comes in this kitchen to look around, I'm not touching any of this stuff. None of it. So keep him away from this food right here. There you go. God, what a bizarre family that must have been. All right, go touch up on some of the other things going on this weekend as we continue. It's Wake Up Call.
Culver continues now on the Sports Map Radio Network. Here's Tony D and Ron Culver.
All right, thanks for joining us. We continue on Wake Up Call. Hey, by the way, Scott Miller, who we had on at the top of the hour to talk some baseball.
Yeah,
we talked about the new rules. They seem to be look. No one ever is 100% universal with new rule changes. There's always going to be grumblings. Always, always. No matter, even if everyone agrees that the rules, there should be a change, there's always somebody going, yeah, well, I didn't think it was a good idea. But overall, he said something which we've been hearing over and over again, which is it's shaving a half an hour off of games.
Which, That alone is amazing.
That sounds like way too much. Not too much in a bad thing. Meaning, like, if you had told me that we're implementing a pitch clock, I'd say, all right, save 10 minutes.
Yeah.
A half an hour is gigantic.
Yep.
That's gigantic. That is absolutely, that's monumental. I
mean, you're now, it feels good that you're getting a game that's two and a half hours long.
Right, right.
You know? And the other rule change that I've really been liking is I didn't think it was necessary. I thought it was kind of stupid, but it is the bigger bases.
The bigger bases, yeah. They seem to be working out well, too.
It's leading to more stolen bases.
That's right.
And, you know, it's kind of like an art form that was lost. I went down a YouTube rabbit hole the other day, and I stumbled across Ricky Henderson.
I love it.
It was the night before he was trying to steal a base. He ended up getting picked off, caught stealing at second. But it was just the fervor coming out of Oakland A's Stadium, the Coliseum.
Yeah.
You know, packed stadium, cheering for him to steal that base to break Lou Brock's record and, you know, it not happening. But I was like, God, remember when that used to happen with the A's all the time?
Today, I am the greatest of all time. Love it.
And it's a setup, too.
Yeah.
The setup was Lou Brock was the greatest, but today I am the greatest. I'm like, God,
awesome.
That's Ricky.
By the way, that old line from the Who Shot Liberty Valance, when the fact becomes legend, print the legend, or whatever. What is that? When the legend becomes fact, print the legend. Right? It's the end of the movie. Basically, it means the legend's always better than the truth, right?
Yeah.
Is that John Oldworld's story real? Or is that a legend that we created about Ricky Henderson?
No,
is that,
Ricky has talked about it.
Is he really did that to John Olerud? And yeah. John Olerud, he literally had no idea he had played with John Olerud and said to him, I played with a guy that also wore a batting helmet on the field. And Olerud said, that was me. And Henderson had no idea.
Yes.
That's a true story? Because that sounds like you would make that up for Ricky Henderson.
Well, I mean,
I always told that story, but there was always a part of me that went, I don't know. Is that true? Like, we make up things with people all the time, right? We always say, like, oh, that guy drank 150 beers on a flight, like Wade Boggs or something. And then we go, nah, it really wasn't that. And it was kind of exaggerated. Do you think that story is real? Do you think that's true?
Everything I want to
believe so badly that it's like, true.
Here, I mean, in 2018, MLB.com did a story about it. And
did you?
And it says it's revealed the truth behind the amazing story. And I guess the reason why Olerud wore a helmet was because he suffered an aneurysm in college.
That's right.
So that's why he wore a helmet on there. But yeah.
Because here's the way I look at it. If you play in the league, again, I believe it because Ricky Henderson played for literally every Major League Baseball team in his career. He played everywhere. He played everywhere. And I think after a while, you just go, I can't remember everybody I played with. I can't. It's impossible. I'm here. I leave. I go play somewhere else. He played a long time, right? He played everywhere. So I wanted to believe that story. I just was never 100% sure if it was real.
I want to believe it's real too.
Or people just went, yeah, let's make up a little story. Or it was not as big as it was, and people just took it a little nugget and they expanded it out to a fable.
See, I'm seeing you have to go through a bunch of YouTube or Google a bunch of stuff. I'm seeing things where, you know, John Olerud debunked one of the greatest Ricky Henderson stories.
Yeah.
But I'm also seeing that Ricky Kaint did come up to John Olerud in the Mets locker room.
Great story, man. It's a great story. I would, if I was both of them, I'd embrace it. I'd be let's just say this happened.
Take it to your grave type of story.
Take it to your grave,
right?
Kind of story. Yeah, it's funny.
Yeah.
It's hilarious.
And it makes a lot of sense because of who Ricky Henderson is.
Perfect story.
Ricky Henderson he did that 90s thing where he talked in third person all the time.
Yep.
Yeah, you know, Ricky's going to steal a lot of bases. Ricky's the greatest of all time. And, you know, so he talked in the third person all the time, but he was able to back it up. And like you said, I mean, yeah, I think he did play with just about every major league ball club.
Yeah. It's great. So, yeah, he played with a ton of – he played late into his career, and he played with a bunch of teams.
Yeah, he made his major league debut in 1979. His last appearance was in 2003.
Yep. And there's a whole bunch of teams on the
list. I have the list of teams. Ready?
Okay.
He played for the A's, the Yankees, then back to the A's, the Blue Jays, back to the A's, Padres, Angels, back to the A's, Mets, Mariners, Padres, Red Sox, Dodgers.
Wow. That's traveling. That's getting a lot out of your career.
And I think, I think he has some records that can't be broken. I really do.
Yeah, I do too.
I don't think the stolen bases in a single season, I don't know if we're ever going to get close to that. It's 130.
I just don't think the game is I just think the game is not made for that. Yeah. Maybe there's another generation coming that takes advantage of this.
Puts all it back into the game. Broken.
It just doesn't feel like while we have more stolen bases, it's not the Ricky Anderson would be on third base in a blink of an eye.
Right.
Like he'd be on first and gone.
Well, I mean, last year's stolen base leader was like 40.
Yeah. Yeah.
You mean he was putting up 80, 90, 100 a season.
He was averaging almost a little less than one per game.
Right.
Like, I mean, it's crazy. I mean, like, that's nuts.
130 stolen bases in a season.
That's crazy.
And the other one, I think the career stolen base record, because the next closest guy, I think, is still Lou Brock, which he didn't even get to 1,000.
But when we were talking to Scott Miller, if you look at, can Major League Baseball teams, right, at the beginning of the season, we're 5 months away. We got a lot of time. But he was right about the Detroit Tigers. He was right because the Tigers went 35-5 in their first 40 games. And then you get a cushion where you don't have to do much after that. You can pace yourself a little bit. You lose 2 out of 3. It's not a big deal. You can do that. That's what the Rays are doing right now. The Rays have built themselves such a cushion in terms of the division. Now, they're only 3.5 over Baltimore, but the way they're winning these games, it's putting them enough. But if you're the Yankees, let me bring this up. If you're the Yankees and you made the playoffs last year with almost 100 wins, and now you're just a little above 500, but you're in last place, it's not, of course, we've got five months left, but you need to be careful.
Yeah.
Because it's not easy to climb back out of a hole like this if you wake up on Memorial Day and you're 12 games out of first place. That's a lot of work to get back into that. But you've been really disappointing the White Sox.
Yeah.
The White Sox almost made the playoffs last year. They finished 500 in second place in the division. They are 9-21.
9-20, which is amazing. I mean, I'm also looking at, like, Oakland has the worst record in the league.
Yeah, Oakland's terrible.
How are they only six? How come they've only won 6 games?
I know.
That's shocking.
When you show up, you're almost guaranteed at least a win 30, in a 10-game span.
They've played 30 games this season and have only won 6.
It's awful. Awful.
Can't get to double digits yet?
St. Louis is no good. Arizona's pretty good.
St. Louis, that's another surprising one.
That's another team. That was a team that poured it on late. They were in a battle with Milwaukee. Milwaukee was owning the division for a while. They came back. They were fighting in the late summer. They got the division. Milwaukee struggled so much down the stretch, they didn't even make the playoffs. And St. Louis won the division. They've got Nolan Arenado. They've got Paul Goldschmidt, who won the MVP. Yep.
Two corners. Their corners wonderful. Are probably the best in the league.
Yeah, absolutely. And yet, 10 games below 500.
Yeah.
They're atrocious.
Then on the flip side, though, you do have some surprises. Like, I would not have, if even today, right now, until I looked at the standings, I would not have guessed Baltimore being second in the East.
Well, Baltimore was that team. When we talked to a couple of guys at USA Today, we have Gabe Lax and then Steve Gardner.
Yeah.
I asked them both because wasn't Baltimore last year? Look, they didn't make the playoffs, but they were good and they were rising.
I think they were.
And there was something
good
about them. Like there were these articles that would come out about, hey, don't the Orioles are coming?
Yeah,
like they're not today.
I mean,
it was coming.
always Florida, Yankees, Toronto.
Right.
But then the Orioles were getting into that mix of going, hey, don't forget about us.
They lost a million games a while back, but now they've built this farm system up. They made some right trades. They got rid of some contracts. Like they've got this good young pitching, and I always wondered about them, but now they're in second place in the after 1 month. So. All right, so Celtics and Sixers tonight, Lakers and Golden State Thursday, and of course Friday, Game 3, Denver and Phoenix in Arizona. All right, thanks to Scott Miller for joining us on the show today. Thank you all for listening in. Lombardi Line's next on Sports Map Radio. We will see you tomorrow for Throwback Thursday as we continue the week. It's Wake Up Call.